Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And I'm going to share some information about an experience I'm having recently. It's very timely. The idea of introspection at the end of the year, self-examination about your business, you know, and in light of the recession and all that. And it came to kind of a head for me recently when the National Speakers Association, it's a wonderful organization, by the way, I'll tell you a little bit about it, has asked me to lead a process. It's more than a session or a seminar. It's a process to help professional speakers analyze their businesses realistically. And I've learned a ton going through this process, and I want to share with you through their eyes and through what we're doing some of the challenges that entrepreneurs are facing when they try to analyze their companies. Now, don't run away. I don't want you to run away. That's the whole point. I have the 7-step process that we've been using for the speakers to kind of take a real good look at what they're doing and why they're doing it, where they're headed, what they need to be able to be successful. And it just hit me. I mean, I had to adjust some of it because most of the work that I do is with, you know, entrepreneurs of mid-sized companies, like the listeners to this program, you know, those of you who are listening and have been guests, and, you know, it's a peer-to-peer-to-peer program for people who are between 20 and 200 million. So why would I be talking about professional speakers, most of which are solos, and, you know, many of them resist having employees at all, and, you know, all the independence is their primary goal? Well, it's very telling to see what very bright, ambitious, driven, positive role model type people go through when they're analyzing their companies. And I'm seeing a lot of parallels to what's going on in the minds of the entrepreneurs running bigger businesses. It just is almost exaggerated when you watch the speakers go through it. So obviously I'm not going to name any names, but I'd like to share with you today some of the questions that have been really resonating with the professional speakers that maybe you haven't been looking at, maybe you haven't been asking yourself. And the ahas, what's been delightful about it, is seeing, okay, there's this resistance at first. There's this, oh, I don't want to deal with this. This is too serious. I don't want to look at this. This is, you know, this makes the recession feel too real. And I don't want to look at this because, you know, that's going to make me have to change. And then if somebody just relaxes and lets it in, you can almost see the visual light bulbs over their head and the relief that life doesn't have to be as difficult as they're making it. And they can go about it a different way, you know, kind of go around a wall instead of having to bang up against it. They can get somebody's help and they don't have to do something alone. They can do something that pulls their customers toward them rather than feeling like they have to push more marketing money and effort. And I think a lot of us need it. So I'm going to walk you through some of the steps. Now, before I do that, I'll just tell you a little bit about how this came out, that came up. The theme for the National Speakers Association for 2008-2009 is keeping it real. Isn't that impressive? Now, why would speakers need to do that? Now, think about the pressure that's on a professional speaker. Their role models, got to get up on stage, have to have earned the platform, and, you know, have climbed Mount Everest or succeeded in a ton of businesses. And the pressure on a lot of them is that they feel like they need to always be up. Well, you know, they're still going through the same phases of everybody else in life. So they could be having a midlife crisis. They could have a sick mama at home. They could have a nasty, obnoxious kid. They could have, you know, money problems. They could have a lot of things going on, but they can't reveal it. So an awful lot of the speakers, you know, they must feel like actors when they're up there. And, in fact, one of the things that's important is to make sure that, as Benito Quibain would say, that life is congruent, that it isn't an act, that it's real. And so some of the challenge for a professional speaker is how do you make sure that your life is consistent with what the presentation's about, that when you're standing up there talking about success in business, that you're actually a success in business. And if you're talking about life balance and you're talking about change, that you actually can manage change and can actually have a balanced life. so you don't feel like a hypocrite standing up there. And I think it's really good that during this kind of challenging time that the president of the association is saying, you know, let's keep it real, because that's what the clients need, that's what the world needs, and that's what we need. So in keeping it real, they introduced two new conferences in the winter, and the mega sessions and the analysis have been really drilling deeper. It's not, just a seminar for an hour on what might be some of the themes of a marketing program. It's really drilling deeper, a whole day on intensive of what are you really trying to do in your brand and how do you get it across. And then a long period of time of really looking at internet marketing and sales and staffing and life, et cetera. And then they asked me to do this session that was analyzing the whole business. So the seven steps, and they're not that complicated, are for you to really look at a personal assessment first. Now, I did the personal assessment rather than a market assessment first for speakers because so much of their business is about them as the product. You know, it's not like you're analyzing the widget. They're the widget. And why the person is up on the stage and it's like an incorporated career, it becomes more important for them to really get honest about why are they taking this huge chance to be isolated, to go out and risk, you know, being out on the limb and being totally exposed. I would start with a personal assessment for comedians, for entertainers, for, you know, any kind of actor, singer, you know, speaker, et cetera. I'm wondering if in some cases of, presidents and CEOs of larger companies, if the whole traditional logic of always starting with the market assessment for the business is one of the things that gets them into trouble. Because there is this denial of the why they're in business, and why you're in business, why you do what you do, what's important to you, what you're willing to do, how much chance you're willing to take, how you feel about what you're doing, gets looked at so late in the process of analysis that it interferes. In other words, I'm finding that a number of people who haven't done the personal assessment first aren't centered. And just because you don't have an incorporated career anymore, and it really is this larger enterprise that has incredible value that you're trying to build, it's obviously so much more than just you and your career. It's about your company and the shareholder value and, you know, whether or not you've been IPO or you're privately held, you've got stakeholders all over the place. And what the market wants and what the customers want, et cetera, et cetera. The normal logic would say to start with that, right? And something about this process with the speakers makes me wonder, maybe this is the year, talking about keeping it real, do the personal assessment before you get another round of your business assessment. Because if there's a big gap, if there's this dissonance between what you're interested in doing, what your energy level is, how much money you have, how afraid you are, or the kinds of questions that have been resonating for some of these speakers, the big why, your participation or your approach to strategic planning for the company can be impacted by it. Or you'll miss your cue that, you know, maybe this is the time you need to start some marital counseling. Or you'll miss your cue that you really need to build in more vacation this next year. Or you'll miss your cue that you're really living in the wrong place. You know, you may be, you know, have seven fancy houses and all that kind of stuff, but you really just want one place that you can call home. I just think I would propose, switch the sequence this year. Switch it so that you do a personal assessment now before the end of the year. Now, I know strategic planning starts for an awful lot of companies way back in August, and, you know, the finalizing of the budget is all now. So I may be speaking out of my hat. But I also know some people that have, you know, they've got a budget for next year, but their true strategic planning about where is the business going is having to be done more frequently in a more intense way because this particular economy is changing the rules. This is a life changer. This is a rule changer, because if you, especially on how you're financing the company, if we don't have the access to the credit that we used to have, and that doesn't get unstuck pretty soon, a number of things like, you know, the geographic locations and the new product launches and the expansions that you had planned, they're going to be done differently, if not at all. So I'm suggesting between now and the end of the year, how do you fit in some personal assessment? That was an amazing thing to watch and participate in. One of the questions that I've asked myself, now just to remind you, if you haven't been, you know, a listener, a long-time listener of the show, you might not know, I've been in business 38 years, gone through four recessions, or it depends on who you ask, you know, how many it is. And, you know, so I've grown, you know, my consulting company to 123 full-time consultants and 23, you know, support staff and gone through an ESOP. You know, it's a unique journey for a professional. Spun off other businesses so that I got into venture capital and created the speaking business as a separate entity and became a one-third owner of a manufacturing plant that had 365 employees. I mean, there's, you know, it's a different journey than most, quote, consultants that stayed in the solo side of things. All right, so, but still, you know, I may not be exactly like a lot of other speakers, but, you know, one of the questions that has resonated for me over the years is to just kind of do a quick check and say, am I running towards something or away from something? Now, that may sound funny, but think about it. You know, you can be working really, really hard and have a frenetic pace and be very busy and have all the steps worked out and your project management solid, so you're running really fast. Are you creating something really wonderful that you truly want in the future, or are you just running from something that was uncomfortable? Maybe authority figures. When I first started the company, I think there was a piece of it where I was just running away from some of the awful, unethical bosses I had. It wasn't that I always dreamed of having a business. I just couldn't stand the ethics and the approach of some of the employers that I had. And I felt like I guess I had to be my own boss to be able to do this ethically. That's a sad comment. I can look back now and say I really was unlucky with a couple of the bosses that I had. And it, you know, I could have just taken another job and tried again. But, you know, when you're youthful and you kind of, you know, you try a few and you figure that must be enough of a sample size, it was a hasty thing to do. I didn't have to be an entrepreneur as quickly as I did. Now, I learned how to do it. In some ways, I learned it, you know, through the hard way. So that would have been a good question for me to ask. Am I running towards something, like creating a big business, or am I running from something? And at the time, it was authority. Well, that's not an issue that I have now, but sometimes you could be running from something that you don't like to learn. You could be running from you know, facing a problem that you don't like to solve. You could be running from whatever. I mean, you know, people get into a mode of running from things really fast and often. So that's a question that resonates for me. Well, some of the questions that resonated for the speakers were the questions about purpose. Why are they doing what they're doing? In their case, was it that they loved their voice? Or was it that they liked the applause? Did they want fame? Did they do it for money? It's an ugly question because all the verbiage and all the language is about that you're trying to change the world and make a difference and all that kind of stuff. But deep down inside, if someone got truly honest, why'd they go into speaking? Because they read someplace that looked like an easy way to make a hard, you know, an easy way to make a living. I love Mike McKinley. As the former president of NSA, he'd said this is a tough way to make an easy living. Pause for a second, if you will. Are you running from something, toward something, or from something? Why are you still the CEO of this mid-sized business? Why is the company you're over at a plateau? Because are you becoming risk-averse? Have you felt like you've earned what you have now and it's time for you to play? Do you have that urge to coast? It's ugly to face it, but it might be time. We're going to be right back to look a little deeper. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler.
Money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldona can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I'm talking about a seven-step process that I'm using with professional speakers that I think entrepreneurs, those of you who are presidents of mid-sized companies, might want to revisit, even though this was used for solos. Let me tell you, you have some reflective questions. It really makes you think, and pauses, and you know, in the hectic pace of what you're living with, putting a series of self-absorbing questions, kind of reflective questions in front of you might open your eyes. You can go to my website at www.thegrowthstrategist.com and download the various pages of these questions. You're not going to ask all of them. What you're looking for is four or five out of each sequence that really resonate for you, the ones that made you mad, the ones that made you pause, the ones that made you take your breath away, the ones that make you go, ah, that doesn't apply to me. Guess what? There's something there. The ones that go, well, you know, I wish that applied to me, but it doesn't. You know, the other ones that you just have an obvious answer to and you go, oh, yeah. Okay, they may not mean anything. It's the ones that got a little of an emotional, visceral response that matter. All right, so let's shift now. The second kind of analysis is about the market assessment. And I found it interesting that the most difficult one for most of the speakers was, what's the market perception of you, really? And some would come back and say, I don't know how to figure that out. And they're never going to tell us. They're never going to be honest. I don't know. Well, you know, it's ironic. There's evaluation sheets, and there is, you know, there's surveys that are possible. You can ask people. And yet, the folks who are living out on the edge, standing up on the platform, interestingly, a number of them don't have a real perception of what the market truly thinks. Now, I wonder if they don't want to know, because with the personal assessment, and you're going to do what you want to do and say, you know, I'm going to do this topic because I like it, and this is how I want to do my presentation, I'm going to be me, maybe they don't want to know. So we're not going to get lost in what speakers are not doing. Let's ask yourself, do you really know where the market is headed? Do you really know how they truly perceive you? It's a little scary. Let me give you a suggestion. One of the, you know, I've seen, you know, the reports that say continuous contact with your customers is really valuable. It's a whole lot less expensive than trying to drum up a bunch of new customers all the time. We all hear that. And then I see clients in the mid-size range that come up with these complicated, expensive, clumsy, cumbersome programs that fall apart. You know, as soon as the recession hits, they stop doing them because they say they're going to pull the marketing budget, which is crazy. So let me just suggest to you, maybe you could do a series of phone calls, and it's an ongoing thing to have an interaction with your clients that teaches you about how they're thinking, expresses thank you for them being customers at all, shows that you are interested in improving and conveys that you want to have them as a client in the future. Okay, those are your goals. You would like to have your communication, you know, really learn from them. What's their true perception? You know, what do they think about you? But you're going to use it to improve your marketing and improve your development of your product, okay? All right, and it comes down to five questions. So you get somebody on the phone, and I'll go back to that and talk to you about who it is. I don't think it's the primary service provider. You don't put your account manager on the phone calling the client to interview them because they've been talking to the client all along, you hope. And if the client has something to say that might be a little, you know, I think you should improve this or we expected something else, they may be reluctant to tell the account manager because if they were going to tell them, they would have told them by now. And it's also tough for an account manager to call and have some objectivity and openness and naivete, you know, that innocence of asking questions if they're supposed to know the answers to these things by now. So it's better to have an innocent person call. I mean, I've seen people, you know, pay nothing, you know, dirt, no money to interns that are in marketing programs to learn how to do these kind of surveys. And if they're college students and they're learning how to follow scripts and such, they can be articulate. They can get it across. Or you could trade with one of your clients. You could, you know, I've had a couple of speakers, they have their staffs call for the other speaker and they trade the answer so that they don't have to spend any money. I mean, there's lots of ways to do this. Get somebody who's decent on the phone and they do a few at a time. You're not going to take them on 100 at a clip. So you call recent clients and you ask five questions. I call it the 5S interview. First S is you ask about their situation. What you want to know is what were the circumstances for that customer before they came to you. This is particularly relevant if you provide some services, but I've got to tell you, it doesn't matter. If you provide a product, you just sell boxes related to computers or just cables. I don't care. What was going on in the customer's life? What were they struggling with? What were they trying to do? Where were they headed? What was important? What were their priorities? All of that matters. And they probably, when they called you to order cable or they called you to, you know, put in a new phone system, whatever they were trying to do, they didn't tell you what was preceding. They didn't tell you what they were struggling with for the last 6 months. They just want the cable installed. You know, that kind of, you know, transactional behavior when people call to order. They might not have had a chance. Now, if you were lucky, you asked them at the time and you got them engaged and you found out what was going on, but there's some times you just couldn't do that or they just wouldn't tell you. Well, you find that out. What was going on? And listen. Now think about how much you can improve your marketing and your understanding of the market if you listen to them tell you what was going on in their business. Now it also reminds them what was going on and how much further they've come. They get, especially at this time of year, people are more able to reminisce. They can say, well, here's what we were dealing with at the beginning of the year. They were going over it for their reports anyway. And they can sit there and say, okay, well, here's what was going on, and here's where we were headed, and here's what we were stuck with. And it's much more matter of fact. They can tell you now, 6 months, a year later, when they might have been reluctant to tell you how screwed up something was in the midst of this battle. Okay? I mean, they're embarrassed to tell you that they can't make a decision. They're embarrassed to tell you that they didn't have the money. They're embarrassed to tell you they didn't know what they were doing. But somehow you can admit it later on when you fixed it. After you fix something, then you can describe it. You follow me? I mean, you can talk about how crazy you were as a teenager once you hit adult life. You don't want to talk about how stupid you are as a kid when you're a kid. All right, so ask what the circumstances are. This will help you, by the way, because you'll learn who do you have to be visible in front of? How do you have to word what you do? It needs to be worded, since you're earlier in the process. Isn't one of the secrets to success in sales to be earlier in the process? To be, you know, be the one that they're talking to before they even know that they need what you do. And then you're wired for the project. You know, they're not out shopping. You're not at the point where it's all the way down to the end of the point where they're comparing different proposals and it's down to price and you're perceived as a commodity. If you were there earlier in the process of what they were struggling with and acted like you understood it and were part of the solution, it's much easier for you to get those sales. Now, that's important during a recession in particular. So learning where were they, what were they dealing with, what was the problem, where did they go, why did they even know they needed something like what you do, is very educational. Write it down in their words. Your second question is, what was their selection criteria? Now, it isn't just, you know, did they shop on price? You want to know, where did they look? You know, did they, when they were in that, you're asking for their history. It's like interviewing your parents about how they met and how did they date, and when did someone propose, and where did they go for their honeymoon. Have them relive it and be engaged. You need somebody on the phone that is able to listen and engage them in the story. That's what you need, is the story. It's not just an evaluation of you and tell us how wonderful we are and would you buy from us again. That is too cold. I mean, engage your customers in conveying their story, and it's about them more than you. So then you hear, what was their selection? Well, at the time that they were looking, they probably didn't know what the selection criteria was. 9 times out of 10, products and services now are so complicated and the pricing is so confusing, the customer has to do some research to even figure out what they need and what they want to buy. So find out, where did they go? Did they go to the web? And what keywords did they use? Don't ask it that way. Say, when you started to look on the Internet, where did you even start? Say it in English. Say it in your language. Say it directly rather than techno-speak or marketing speak. You know what I'm saying? I know you're bilingual, but say it in their language. And that's what I'm talking about. Learn their language. You ask them if they talked to their, you know, who did they talk to? Maybe they went straight to their accountants or their attorneys or their technology advisors, or they went to their friends or their brother. Where did they go to figure out how to get some help with what the issue was? Because our products and services, we're solving a problem, we're making something easier, we're doing things to make it faster, to make it more fun. Those are the benefits of what all of us do, whether or not you sell, you know, a cable for a computer, or you sell management consulting. All of us have those kind of intangible benefits. That's what they're really buying, something that's faster, easier, cheaper, more fun. That's what they're buying. So what were they looking for? That's going to help you in your marketing, and it also re-engages them, showing that your company cares about why they chose you. Then ask, okay, so when you've surfaced a bunch of people, who did you consider? Ask who the competitors were. Don't say the word competitor. Say, well, who'd you consider? I mean, I know we were brought in August, and we had to give your proposal. Who else was involved? That is in English. That's just saying it directly instead of saying, I want to know who my competitors were. Who else did you consider? It's too stiff when you get like that. Make it in a direct conversational kind of a tone. And then they'll tell you, well, you know, we considered a big company and they came in. And you can open it up and hear the range of what the proposals were. You can hear what someone else, they almost did instead of you, so that you can hear what they're tempted and what they might have wanted and maybe felt like they had to compromise and didn't get. It might be a hint about something they want in the future. Hear it? All right, so if you can and find out what they felt were their criteria and why they chose you, and then the third question is, what was their services that they actually purchased? Now, obviously, you know what you provided, or at least you think you do. You sold them a telephone. You sold them some cable. You sold them a management consulting report. You sold them a speech. Whatever it was that you sold them, you think you know? No, you don't. If you ask a customer after they've purchased it, they're much more free to tell you, but they can go back to their notes and they can look it up and say, you know, what were their specs when they had their project management and their purchasing minutes, you know, their purchase order, their internal documents. What do you think they were buying? In their words. So your marketing and your sales is going to improve. Your future proposals are going to improve if you word things in your customers' words rather than your own techno-speak or in your own industry language. We all have jargon. All right. But do you really know how the language has changed around their description of what you do? I find during recessions that the descriptions of what each of us do changes. And do you know the updated version from your customer's language to describe what you currently do? All right, now I need to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to start with, do you really know in your customer's language what you've provided for them? This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler. We'll be right back.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldona can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Have you found yourself overwhelmed or stalled, not getting the goals you dream of? Hear what the experts say about how you can break through. Solutions, systems, skills. Get your strategy on track and accelerate your business success. Join Linda Feinholz every Monday for The Spark Effect. Linda and her guests will show you and your team exactly how to grow your business further, faster, easier. The Spark Effect is heard every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Network.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I'm talking about a seven-step process for you to analyze your business. Go to my website at www.thegrowthstrategist.com. Download the session from the NSA conference in Phoenix. You'll see what I'm talking about. Seven steps. So, you know, start with a personal assessment. Then it goes to a market assessment. And then it goes to benchmarking in your industry. Then it looks at, you know, okay, what are some of the, you know, strategy implications. If you've done those three assessments and you've taken a look at the gaps between them, you know, then you can say, all right, now we're ready for your strategy. Not before. Don't jump into strategy before you've ever even looked at anything. I'm not talking analysis paralysis, but if you don't pause before you start tweaking your strategy and trying to figure out how many people you're going to have and what your budget is and all that nonsense, you can just replicate bad stuff from the past. It is important to pause. And some of those aggravating questions about why are you doing things and where are you headed and, you know, what are you running from and how does the market actually perceive you and how would they describe you in their own words matters. It matters. And nothing is worse than spending a lot of time on the wrong thing. So, you know, it does matter to just pause for a couple minutes and check out these questions. See if they resonate for you. Now, what I was doing before the break is I'm on the market assessment because I'm also talking about five questions, okay? Seven steps to that, you know, to your strategic plan being ta-da, you know, we got it. And five questions that you ask your customers. Okay, so we've gotten into, you know, how did they describe what you've provided? Okay, now let me give you an example from a couple of the speakers that happened. All right, there's some that are really wanting their fee to go higher, and they want to be keynotes. You know, there's a subset of people in the industry that perceive themselves. You know, they've maybe been trainers, they've been doing breakout sessions, and there's a glamour to being on the general stage, on the general platform. Well, it's not for everybody. Not everybody's a storyteller. Not everybody has that kind of presence. They don't all deserve the platform. But there's something about it that after you've been in the business for a long time, there's this craving of, okay, now I have to get out of the training room and the breakout room, and I want to hit the general platform. And that transformation is huge for some people. Well, what if they don't know what the perception of the market is of them, okay? They could be demanding more fees. They could be saying, I deserve a full fee, and I'm just going to raise my rates, and I'll figure out how to word it in a sales transaction. Well, what if they don't deserve to be there? So if they don't pause and ask for what the market perception is, they might not know. In one case, you know, there's several people, but, you know, I know of several people where if you ask the speakers' bureaus how they perceive, it's not even hard to figure out how they perceive them. Take a look at their directories and where the person that the speaker's been placed in breakout sessions and training and under a specific, you know, fee level. What kind of photo do they have of the speaker? It could be a cutesy picture of them looking very approachable and fine for an entry-level, lower-level training presentation, but they don't have the presence, they don't have the demeanor, they don't have the polish of a keynote presenter. Well, all right, is that the problem with the photo and the bureau, or is it the problem with the speaker? They may need a makeover. They don't need a higher fee. They may need a total makeover. Somebody who, you know, doesn't dress right, doesn't talk right, doesn't look right, doesn't wear makeup, or has a hairdo that's, you know, from out of date. Hello, wake up. And as I'm not just talking about the women, the guys that are just, you know, some of them are not, they don't have a decent suit. Okay, why would you think you deserve the general platform if you haven't kind of looked in a mirror lately? So if there's a big gap between how you perceive yourself and what you want and how the market truly perceives you, you know, you can be spending a lot of money on your marketing and sales and not get what you need. You get it? So just like the speakers, and just because you're demanding it and you work harder doesn't mean it's going to change. What do you need to do to change what you're doing or change the market perception? If you have, I've lived through this. I've improved services. I've introduced new things. There's one bureau that had the hardest time catching up. I mean, at least, well, let's put it this way. I had the hardest time catching them up. They got it in their heads that I only did presentations to women because, oh, my God, it was way back in the 1970s. They had seen me speak at a NAVO convention. It was fine. I did a good job. I was really pleased. But that's not the only thing I do. Oh, my God. To me, it felt like I was banging my head against the wall to update them. And then it was like, okay, I got to find a different way to get through to these people. So it took a concentrated effort to update their database, to give them, you know, more demos, to get testimonials to come after them so that they could see it, strategy sessions, that I could talk from the general platform on strategy, that it would be not just for women. You know, maybe there's some audiences that were female, but the overwhelming majority of my clients are male, because those are the people who own companies and are operating companies between 20 and 200 million. It's a very small percentage that are female. But it took a concentrated effort on my part to update a few of the bureaus on who I am. You got to face it. You can't deny it. You can't, you know, get mad at people because they have an old image of you. It was there. It's just like your parents. If they see you as you're 8 years old, how are you going to update them? If it's worth it to you, you find a way to update them on their impression of you. You make them come to the house. You take them out to different dinner. You pay for the bill instead of always whining. You don't ask for money. There's things you change to change somebody's perception of you. Get it? Your company, even at 20 to 200 million, there are customers that have a dated image of you. There are vendors. There are potential referral sources. There's directories that have a dated image of you, especially if it's a family-owned business and the previous generation worked a certain way. I've seen this in distribution companies where the previous generation was in low-tech and in high-touch, and maybe they didn't like to travel to go to see customers, or maybe they never had anybody come into the counter. They didn't have they had a showroom, but they never had a decent counter service. There's all these things. Those are dated images. All right, how are you going to update the market? If you don't face it, they still have a 20-year-old version of you, vision of you. How are you going to update them? Just kind of going after them and asking for orders isn't going to do it. How are you going to update them? You follow it? So what you feel you want and what the marketplace truly feels, and if there's a big gap, you've got some homework to do. If you don't ask them in their own words what they felt that your customers, what they got from you, you're going to put the wrong words in front of the customers that you're trying to update. Follow it? Okay. Fourth question is their satisfaction. Again, you know, you're not just looking for tell me how wonderful we are and looking for testimonials and nifty quotes to use to promote to other people. That's a side benefit. That's true. But ask what they got. What were the results? what were the results of buying from you? First of all, it does remind them of the progress they made, and you can celebrate that on the phone with them when you're hearing it, because you just heard a couple minutes before they were telling you where they were and what they were struggling with and how they came to the decision to bring you on, and this is what you solved, and it reminds them of the value. And if they don't, you can ask another question that does ask value and does ask results instead of just, you know, all right, how'd you like the phone or how'd you like the cable? Did it fit? No, ask something about the value. Did the internet service work better? Did the picture come out clearer? Does this phone, is it less expensive to operate than your previous one? Do you use it more than the previous one? Ask value-related questions to reinforce in your mind of your customers that there was a result that was achieved from working with you. The fifth question is suggestions. Now, a lot of people see that as you're probing for ways to improve, but it's all in how you ask the question. If you're asking people in a future orientation, you're going to communicate that you want them as customers again. So one suggestion question is, okay, what kind of new services or products should we be working on if we want to keep you as a customer forever? We want your business again. You hear it? That conveys you want them back. That conveys that you want to continue to improve. That conveys you're interested in their journey, where they're headed, and that your product development would be based on when they're going. Hear it? So you ask about their future. What are they doing now? What are the problems that they're dealing with today? Where are they headed? What are they worried about? Frankly, today's worries are tomorrow's product innovations. So if you have them on the phone, don't just stop with, what did you like last time? That's where people get a dated impression of what you do. If you only let them talk about the one service or product that they bought from you, they can actually think that's all you do. I had that happen to me, too. I've had some clients that felt like, you know, they bought a speech, or they bought an executive coaching program, or they bought, you know, our help with getting growth financing, and didn't realize that we had a lot of other things. It's amazing. I mean, the website has the whole range of things. I say the range of services when I give speeches. It's listed at the bottom of all the articles. If you look at my marketing, it probably would blow your mind that there's some customers out there that have a, you know, a very limited impression of what you do. But that's the pattern. It's just human nature. Once a company has bought what you do, and you know, a specific thing, that's what they remember, because it's a very me-centered universe. And if that's all they did and that's how they view you, that's what they think is the only thing you can do. It's amazing. We're all up against the same thing, especially if some of the people who are in a company were not part of the process of making this decision and asking you for one service out of your list of 20. You know, they only experienced, you know, the staff, for example, the supervisors or the managers may only have experienced the one thing that their bosses purchased. They don't know the rest of that stuff. They weren't part of the marketing. They didn't see all your material. They don't know that. They just know the one thing you did. I did a project for one of my clients. They're a customer that does market research. And I was so honored that they had me do this 5S interview for their customers. It was quite a compliment. Now, I have to work and make sure that their customers don't see me only as a customer service interviewer. That's a very unusual project for me to have done. I did that to them. We did a barter almost. It was like a trade, you know, that they wanted me to come in and do that type of thing. It was different from what I normally would do. I have to make sure they know I'm primarily a strategic planner and I can get them growth financing and I can help the executives go from one level to, you know, get past the plateau. I got to wake them up and make sure that that one project isn't the stereotype of what I am. Okay, ask in the suggestions. Where are they headed? What should you be developing? Yeah, ask them what you can be improving. But see if you can focus it on the future so that it opens the door to a discussion to continued work. Follow it? Your five questions of situation, selection, services, satisfaction, and suggestions can lead to more business, and it gives you direction for your marketing program. Okay, now we're going to be right back. I'll go back to the seven steps so that you can see how to do that. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me? Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Shouldn't we pick a place to meet?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home, should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work?
Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Waste Management. Every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Talk about his money. Call us toll free 866-472-5790 and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and I want to make sure you have contact information for me. If you know my name, it's easy to reach me, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R.com. And in the United States, toll-free, it's 1-888-ALDANA. So that's telephone or email. And I do want to remind you, go on my website at www.thegrowthstrategist.com, download the list of seven sets of questions that you could use for your own assessment. It's an eye-opener. It truly is. I want to go back to what happened with the speakers when we went through the seven steps. One of the things I noticed is that they had some dated views of what the marketplace was doing. It's real easy. You get all caught up in the activity of trying to do your work. And it's harder to be a professional speaker than most people realize, keeping your topic current and refining your skills and doing the marketing and the internet marketing is just a bottomless pit of effort for a lot of people. It's hard to keep up with, and you got to keep doing it. And the sales process is changing, and the speakers, often don't have a lot of employees, so they're doing all this themselves. Many of them have never done budgets before, and here they are finding themselves being bookkeepers and accountants and CFOs for their own companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So in the midst of all that, some things are passing them by. For example, if they didn't do some of these interviews, they might not have realized, in the customer's words, what were they trying to get from the speaker when they put them on the platform? All right, now, do you know what the customer was trying to achieve when they purchased the product from you, when they purchased the service? And it's shifting now with the recession, even if your business is on a roll. I mean, a lot of my clients are growing like crazy. Not everybody's in trouble. There's still trillions and trillions of dollars being spent. It's still less than 10% in most cases that are unemployed. Come on. I mean, it's not like the world stopped. Even though the recession makes it harder, it changes some of the rules. It's not like there isn't business out there for us. I mean, hello. You know, there's people doing really well. Even then, the nature of why people do things and how they do it changed. So, for example, some of the speakers haven't even noticed that the fees for the speeches, the source of the money, has changed. The associations, they're cutting back the budgets. They might be looking for industry experts, the CEO, to come out and talk instead of having an outside speaker, so they better demonstrate their value in a different way. They need to look at corporate sponsorship. They need to look at clustering, you know, bringing product and a number of different things. And if they just do a simple transaction, it isn't going to work. Some of them haven't noticed that maybe being isolated and doing things on their own isn't as effective. And during a recession, if they just paid attention to their emails, they might notice there's other speakers and trainers that are wanting to do joint ventures and strategic alliance with them. Interesting. 5 years ago, somebody would say, well, I don't need to share all my wonderful success with you. I'm really great, and I don't need you. Those same people are coming forward and wanting to do projects, wanting to write books together, wanting to do, you know, links with their websites, wanting to create new entities. I've been approached for several in the last month from people I know would never have approached me 5 years ago. Well, it's not just speakers. Hello. Is this the time for you to be considering some strategic alliances and some joint ventures and some new entities and some shared risk? There is a perception that people need to be more careful. They want to leverage resources. It's probably something they should have been doing 5 years ago but didn't. And that's a market shift. So if you haven't done some of the, you know, the calls to hear how the market perceives you or what was the result they were trying to achieve or what were they worried about or how their buying patterns have changed, you might miss your cue and your strategy's wrong. So if you stay alone and you stay taking the risk on your own, then all you're going to be left with is cutting your budget and laying people off. Well, that's not necessarily the right approach. Okay? Another thing I've noticed, okay, is that expectations ironically go up. There is almost an insistence, a demand that if I'm going to spend any money, it better be right. Right? That anger. I love that. I call it the anger purchase. That people are just, you prove it to me. Make sure that it's perfect before I'm going to spend a dime. Well, that's how they felt anyway. That's how a lot of customers have been feeling for a while. And the anger comes from being disappointed and having felt ripped off before now. And it's just coming out now. Recession gives people the permission to say what they've been feeling for about 5 or 6 years. All right, well, what are they angry about? Instead of taking it personally, you didn't do anything yet, so they're not mad at you. Take your time when you're doing your sales to find out why are they so angry. You know, where have they been burned? Again, open people up to the journey. Ask what they've been living with for the last few months and the last year so they can ventilate, get it out of their system. Is there more of a chance that they'll let you help them, no matter what your product is, be it a cell phone, a television, a cable wire, or a management consulting contract, I don't care what it is, if in the sales process you let people ventilate. Now, you don't bitch. You don't get to the pity party. It is a double standard, but please let your prospects tell you what they've been living with and why they're so demanding now. They'll give you a hint about what's important, because that's another thing that goes on in a recession. We get tempted to throw a whole bunch of new benefits onto things, give it all away, and it might not have been the ones that the customers would value. But if you listen to what somebody's saying and why they're so upset and prove to me it's wonderful before I buy, rank order what they said, listen to it, and then put it back in front of them and essentially say, based on what I heard you said, these are the things that are the most important to you. If we did these, would it be worth it to you? That's the kind of transaction that would help. Plus, it guides your product development so you don't spend too much money and time putting in a lot of features that the customers didn't care about. You hear it? So this is a time for a lot more open interaction. Slow down. Don't be so defensive. But truly know how your customers perceive you. Truly know in their words what they're looking for. Know in their words what they've gotten from you in the past. Update them on the range of what you're currently able to do. Be open to strategic alliances to provide it. You don't have to be the only one hanging out on a limb, you know, looking for a way to do it. You can even say to a prospective customer, you know what, I hear what you want. Here's the priorities that you've just conveyed. We want to do that. Here's the three things that we do. We're going to bring in another partner. When could we show you what they can do to to make sure that we provide everything you want. You're still the hub of the solution. You're still the one that made it happen. You don't have to walk away from a project because you didn't have the capability. Get it? There's a lot of positive things about a recession. The primary thing I want you to take away from this show, this is a time for keeping it real. This is a time for honest questions of yourself so that you don't self-sabotage inadvertently by denial, because denial leads to not facing some of the questions that are the most important, like limited resources and what are you truly trying to accomplish and the space between what you really want and how much you can afford. You could trap yourself inadvertently into cutting staff, not selling, and downsizing and not capitalizing on a recession because you just avoided seven sets of questions. Go to my website, www.thegrowthstrategist.com, download the questions. They're not painful, and they might make the next year much easier. My wish for you, as it is every week, is accelerated growth with sustained profitability, not just more work. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler, signing out.
Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.